Hello everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Latter-day Saints in Action podcast. Our introduction music comes from a song by Derek Clegg called A Strong Will Is Needed from the Free Music Archives. I'm your host, Matt Gardner. Now on with the show. Hi everybody. This week I'm super excited to chat with Elizabeth again about the book club. Elizabeth is the Latter-day Saints in Action book club leader. This month she's having us read a book called Devil in the Grove. Kamal Ahmad, who I interviewed in episode 6, said that this book will give a good idea as to the Black experience in America. I had a conversation with Elizabeth about the book. Hi Elizabeth, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. So last week we had our first book club.
Yes, and it went really well. I was really happy. We had great participation. I thought we had a great discussion.
Yeah, it was awesome to me.
It was your first experience with a book club. So what do you think now?
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, it's funny. Like, I've never actually read a book and then discussed it afterwards. I mean, except for, you know, English class and stuff like that. You read a book and talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
But as far as just doing it for fun, this was awesome. I loved it. The comments were fantastic. It gave me perspective where I needed it, and it helped me see what Eugene was trying to say. Yeah, what did you think? There were what? How many people? 7?
Let's see. Yeah, I think we had a turnout of 7, which I thought was good. I mean, it would be great to have more, but I thought it was definitely a decent turnout. I felt like everybody had a chance to participate if they wanted to, and everybody had good comments. Not everybody had read the book. That's okay. Some people read some articles, but they still had relevant things to say about it. And this is not one where you're going to have a spoiler. I'm in another book club, and I didn't read the book for last month, but I went to the thing and there's a twist at the end, and now I know. So we'll see if I go and read the book how it ends up knowing the twist at the end.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's interesting to read these nonfictions because, yeah, there usually isn't a twist at the end. I mean, this next book that we're going to read, Devil in the Grove, you know, it's also nonfiction. And so we kind of know how it ends because we live in this country.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be interesting though. I think there will definitely be some twists and turns along the way. So the book for this for July, and I believe we have already set the date for July 18th at 6 p.m. We'll try the 6 p.m. time again. We may end up polling people to see what works better. We had people from all time zones across the U.S. So
yeah, I noticed we had a lady who had to bow out because she needed to go to bed.
Yes. East Coast is a little later. So, okay, so that's the date of the book club. So this is Devil in the Grove by Gilbert King. It was recommended on episode 6 of the podcast, which aired on June 4th, by Kamal Ahmad, who came on to speak. And he said this is the book to read if you want to understand the Black experience in America and why it is and what it is today. So I thought that was a pretty impressive statement for it. It is also a book that has won several prizes. So Devil in the Grove is a history of the attorney Thurgood Marshall's defense of 4 young Black men in Lake County, Florida, who were accused in 1949 of raping a white woman. They were known as the Groveland Boys. So the book did win the 2013 Pulitzer Prize for General Nonfiction, and it was described as a richly detailed chronicle of racial injustice. And it was a runner-up for the Dayton Literary Peace Prize, also in 2013, and on Best Books of 2012, list. So it's gotten a lot of accolades. I started reading the introduction. I feel like it's well written. I'm trying to think what the category is, like creative nonfiction or narrative nonfiction. So he's using historical facts, and he did a lot of research and even got access to files by the FBI that had, you know, nobody had looked at that had been classified. So he's done his research, but he also has a very engaging way of telling the story. Even in the beginning, he's talking about Thurgood Marshall being on this train and preparing for the case, and just like his description of what it's like being on this train. And he talks about how Thurgood Marshall's father and grandfather had worked as porters on the train, and kind of what it would have been like to be an African-American on the train at that time with segregated cars. And
yeah, I'm really excited to read this book. When Kamal talked about it, he said, how did he put it? You need to plan on not having anything to do for a couple of days because you won't be able to put it down.
Uh-huh.
And I love historical books like that.
Yes.
That you can sit down and you get an idea of the history without being bogged down in a biography.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because if I understand the timing right, this was kind of maybe around the same time as Brown versus Board of Education, but that hadn't been fully resolved yet. Now, here's a spoiler alert. He does not get these guys off. They're all convicted. So it is interesting. And it is, I mean, there are some trigger warnings. It does deal with rape. There is a lot of violence. There's, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable in some points to read. My mom said, don't get the audiobook because you can't skip forward as easily as the audiobook.
Well, I wish you would have told me that before I bought the audiobook.
Okay. The bad thing about it is that this is all true. This is all stuff that happened. So we have these four young men, Ernest Thomas, Charles Greenlee, who was only 16 at the time, Samuel Shepard, and Walter Arvin. And their story is that, well, I don't know all the details yet, but at least two of them stopped to help this couple whose car had broken down. And then later, the wife, who's only like 17 herself, accuses all four of them of having raped her. And they say they've never met her before. They were, you know, all these things. So it is interesting. And then there's the whole situation with the law enforcement in that town. So I think it's going to be interesting because there's going to be all these kind of tensions because you have like the corrupt law enforcement and they don't really have a fair trial on the jury, you know, and they don't win. But then you also have Thurgood Marshall, who there is a quote of, like, this is from the beginning of the book. It says, Marshall would later say there is very little truth in the old refrain that one cannot legislate equality. Laws not only provide concrete benefits, they can even change the hearts of men. Some men, anyhow, for good or evil. Thurgood Marshall might never have spoken these words if he hadn't defended the Groveland boys. This case made a lasting impact on both him and the NAACP's legal defense fund. It also became the impetus behind the NAACP's capital punishment program, which eventually led to Supreme Court ruling that capital punishment was unconstitutional, as well as the court's later decision to invalidate the death penalty for rape. So although they don't win in this instance, it is kind of a stepping stone for future change through the legal system.
Yeah, I feel like the more that I'm learning about our Black and Brown brothers and sisters, the more I realize that we have made strides, stepping stones, as you say, but we have a ways to go. And I think this gives us a little bit of context as to why we are where we are and helps give context to how we can shape the future. And that to me, that's really exciting. As I've talked to more and more people about this issue, about Black Lives Matter and about their experiences, and it's interesting how often a Black man was accused of rape. Mm-hmm. And so this is very real in the historical sense. And it's also real currently, where a white woman or man could accuse a Black woman or man of basically anything. The most common at the time would be rape, but then call the police and the police would believe the white person.
Yeah, well, and I'm not going to remember the names now, but there was a situation in the news recently where like a Black man was saying something to a white woman with a dog about she shouldn't have her dog in that part of the park. And she threatened to call the police and say that he was threatening her.
You know? Right. And you can hear it. I mean, you can see he's nowhere near her. This is Amy Cooper. And the man's name was Cooper. I can't remember his first. He's a bird watcher, you know, and so he has a vested interest in having the dog be on a leash so that the birds don't get scared away. Right. But she's calling the police and you can hear in her voice that she is acting completely terrified, even though he is yards away from her and explaining that he is harassing her. It's an African-American man. All the trigger words to get the police come and arrest the man. So often we can see that ending in a death sentence for the man who was doing nothing. And I think this book gives context to that.
Yeah. Well, and it does have, I mean, one article that I was reading, a blog post, was talking about Trayvon Martin was only a half hour drive from Groveland, you know.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
You know, and then you have this narrative, the man who shot Trayvon kind of said, Oh, they always get away with this. In this story, it's the police and the sheriff. In this case, all these crimes kept happening that people knew about, and he was left in place. And so, you know, he's like, it's kind of this opposite of the way it's being portrayed now. So I think it's important for us to remember, you know, well, and I think this is what makes it so scary about things that have happened with the police and brutality recently is like, where's the line between, oh, I as a police officer felt like I was threatened, and who's to say when that's the case versus I have this vendetta against people of this color.
Right. This book puts into perspective the police issue with the African Americans that have been such an important part of our history. How is Thurgood Marshall portrayed in the book?
Well, so I've just read, you know, the beginning, and they're talking about him just kind of, I mean, because this is before he's on the Supreme Court, but he is kind of known as the lawyer that can get things done and then can get cases won. But he's actually warned against taking this case because they're like, you could end up dead if you take this case, you know, and they're, I believe during the story, there is somebody in the NAACP whose home is bombed, and he and his wife are killed during all of this. You know, we'll have to see as we read it exactly how they portray him, but it is kind of getting a look at him when he's not made it in this sense of being on the Supreme Court or having won Brown versus Board of Education. He's very passionate about what he's doing and the causes he has. You know, he is working with other attorneys. But I think that I do think it's interesting to see that aspect of him as an individual at that point in his career, as well as the history of it.
Hey, is it okay if I read this review by Steve?
Yes.
I thought this was fantastic. He says, quite simply, one of those books everyone should read. And I'm sorry it took me so long to find it. An important story, well-researched and told, and a well-deserved award/accolade winner. An extraordinary piece of history, a powerful summary of a deeply troubling, disturbing, unnerving, ugly place and time. And the kind of book that opens minds and reminds us that our preconceived notions of history, major events, and others, our neighbors, our fellow citizens, are better understood in context. I'm going to skip to his last paragraph, just because I think this is so good. Alas, this is not a happy book or an easy read. The facts are brutal. The behavior of far too many is as reprehensible as it is inexplicable. And the frequency with which one's sense of justice and goodwill are offended are legion. Relentless, heart-wrenching, and sadly, a significant aspect of our nation's history, culture, and no doubt a factor in many of the social divisions and policy choices we struggle with and read about on a daily basis. Kudos to Gilbert King. I wish I'd read it earlier. I recommend it without hesitation.
Yes, and that's a review from Goodreads. That's one place I like to go to look at what people are actually saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, and then the final thing is I was researching this, and actually it was an article that I found through that review. There's an article in the Washington Post in January 11th of 2019, and I will post a link to that on our page. They talk about actually something that happened because of this book being published years later. So in 2015, I think the book was published like 2011 or 2012. So in 2015, Josh then Cardaman read King's book in a college history class and started an online petition, Exonerate the Groveland Four. So then it takes from 2015 all the way to 2017, the state of Florida formally apologized for what happened. The clemency board voted to posthumously, I can't do that. After they're dead, they're all pardoned.
Yeah. Posthumous.
So,
yeah.
But interesting, because they end up saying, we're not going to argue about whether she lied about the rape accusation or not, but they did not receive a fair trial, regardless of what the facts were.
Right. So, and I think that's the crux of the moment that we're in right now, that Black folks just do not feel like they're getting a fair shake.
Yeah.
They're not being treated the same way as if your skin were a lighter color.
Yes. And I love that, you know, in this book, King has dug into these facts and this history and brought it to light. And then not only is it him writing this book, but somebody reading it in a college class and starting an online petition. So it's just kind of the hope that we can make a change and we can call for justice even decades later. Even though the men had all died, their families were very happy to have this.
It's important that we recognize when we have failed so that in the future, we don't repeat those same mistakes. And I think that is why this book is so important for us to read at this time so that we can correct the problems of the past and then move forward with conviction and knowledge about how to fix those problems. Mm-hmm. Well, I am really excited to read this book.
So am I. I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward.
I think it's going to be gut-wrenching. I think it's going to be a little bit, I think I might get a little stressed out. My sense of fairness, I like a happy ending, and I don't know if I'm going to get one here. I was talking to my wife, Brittany, the other day about this, where we as white Americans can turn off and not pay any attention to this stuff, where for our Black brothers and sisters and our Brown brothers and sisters, this is a daily occurrence that they can't turn off. I think it's important for us to read this stuff that is very uncomfortable so that we can understand the discomfort that happens on a daily basis for our Black and Brown brothers and sisters.
I definitely agree. And I think we do have to be willing to go to that place of discomfort in order to make things change. We can't just ignore it.
So July 18th.
Yes, which is a Saturday, 6 p.m. We did this last one on Zoom. We'll probably do that again. It seemed to work well.
Yeah, it was nice because we could have people from all over the country too, which we haven't been able to when we had our Latter-day Left book club, right?
Yeah.
And so that's nice, and I'm really looking forward to it. For more information, log on to facebook.com/Latter-day Saints in Action. That's our main page. There are links from there to our book club. Alternatively, you can go to our new website, latterdaysaintsinaction.org, and there's a link to the book club Facebook page there. The website is fairly new, so there's not much content on there, but we we'll be updating it and get that information out, everybody, as soon as we can. Yeah, really excited. Thanks, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
I loved chatting with Elizabeth about the upcoming book club book. I'm really excited about opening this up and getting a better look at the history behind the oppression our Black brothers and sisters face. The action for this week is to get this book and start reading it. I look forward to seeing you on July 18th at 6 p.m. Mountain Time for the next book club meeting. Thanks for taking the time to listen to another episode of the Latter-day Saints in Action podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, email us at latterdaysaintsinaction@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at @LDSinAction or on Facebook at facebook.com/latterdaysaintsinaction. You can find links to our social media and more at latterdaysaintsinaction.org.
So open your heart, you never gave it a chance.
Thank you, and I hope you'll join us again.